What Shema? Where is it? I mean, what are we reading?
Shema.
Shema
is
Deuteronomy.
Shema is the way it's pronounced, probably, but it means hear with understanding. And it's the readings that all the ancient Christians and Jews did before they studied particular things, before they read from the Torah. And it's the part of the, it's the scriptures that they wrapped in their, in the phylacteries that they put on their hands and what on their forehead and put on the doorpost of their houses. And it's, first of all, it's Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. And it's the call to put away everything in the universe except this. Okay? Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9.
Everybody ready? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Now, read the next section, Deuteronomy 11. 13 through 21.
And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, unless ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth.
And Numbers 15:37-41.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders of a riband of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
Amen. First of all, I want you to put the Shema, readings up here.
Do we have to write this in there?
No, do it routinely every week. Sometime during the week. We didn't do the prophet readings and the prophets for the last section of the readings. So it's Isaiah, the exact is Isaiah 54, verse 9. But we're going to start in Isaiah 52, verse 10. We're going to read from Isaiah 52, verse 10. Isaiah 52, verse 9. break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all of the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. What it says there is all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. To make bare this holy arm means he revealed, he evangelized, he did the evangelism already. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to see happened on the day of Pentecost, that the seed or God was made manifest to all flesh. Depart ye, go out from the go out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. Now behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now, it's interesting to me that this is the reading, this is read during the time when you're studying the most wicked, the wickedness of the wicked, i.e. the thing that precipitated the flood in Genesis. Okay? He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Now sing, O barren that did not keep bare, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Now, as much as I hate to see it, this is what's happening to us as a body right now, the enlargement of the tent. Mm-hmm. And we have no idea what's going to happen as a result of it. Enlarge the place of thy tent, let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited.
Daryl knows this. I had to come sit here for a while before we ate. I was just getting so, it was just so awful to me. I mean, everybody, so it was so loud in here and just so many people, and it's like I had to come over here to this spot to you know, just feel like I was at home.
Yeah.
You know?
That's your spot.
Yeah, it was just awful.
That's why I was so quiet.
Once I got engaged, I was okay, but I couldn't engage for quite some time.
It's really, it's close to, you know, it gets that, like, critical mass of people pushing 20, and all of a sudden it's really hard. It's like you just,
Think about it from the standpoint of what, what most things that take place in the name of God, they take place in groups in which there is no, where you your senses have been exercised, have been deadened, so that you don't feel strange in a group of 5,000 people or 500 or 100. But it's a blessing for us that you feel that discomfort. It's a blessing of God, because that's like the cap, the spiritual cap on us. So don't think you shouldn't feel that way. Don't feel alone. Again, it's the thing about prophesying whatever is there.
It is still strange, because there is something mystical about 20. You get their 20th. I guess I didn't thought about it since you said that.
Yeah, but remember before, is there something mystical about 20? When you go over 20...
Yeah, when you get 19, 20, it does feel weird.
Yeah.
By the same token, if you have less than 10, it feels weird,
yeah,
because
it's just a get together.
Yeah, it's not about.
Yeah.
Which is okay, but it's not.
And then because if there's less than 10, what you have to do, what you try to do, is you try to become something by sorcery. You try to manipulate words to cause something to happen. And where there's things that take place.
A few people. You try to speak, you know, just to that person, instead of just saying.
Oh, they got the big one. It's killed both of them. Both the guys. The God loving me business.
Yeah.
I can't relate to that at all.
What?
God doesn't love you.
That's a
good God doesn't
God.
Love the human race.
He doesn't?
Is that what we say around here?
Yeah, I never heard that.
And,
is that what we believe?
I've been here 15 years. I've never heard that.
God doesn't love you a little bit. Yeah.
Really,
I'm still confused about what God is or who God is anyway.
Okay, but again, no, mankind has to create a God that loves him, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you read this book, this is a revelation of God in time.
And he's all
God, he wipes out every man, woman, and child.
He's a spoiled child at times. And
he wipes out everybody, kills them. But he loves one thing.
Himself.
No, he loves the bride.
Who's the bride?
The people that have, another way of saying it, vessels of wrath, vessels of mercy. The whore and the bride. Israel and the Gentiles. It's the church and everything else. I mean, it's, all of these are metaphors for people that have given up the right to themselves. If you continue in self-seeking, you're a vessel of wrath. If you abandon yourself, an empty self, where self is no longer thought to seek for self, then by definition you're a part of the bride. And he loves you because the seed of Christ, the sperm of God, the persona of God is resident within you. It's like a pecan. You don't love the pecan shell. You love the pecan shell only, you pay attention to it only because of what the pecan shell contains.
Well, it's like in your case, it's like you have the baby and you have the placenta. I mean, you need them both, but once the baby's here, you don't keep the placenta, you know, you throw it away.
So that's the same thing. It's the birth of Christ in you, and that's what you're going through now is the metaphor for that spiritual reality, that of the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, where your body is chelating everything from you for the sake of the baby. Your body would kill you to keep the baby alive. And so that's what's happening. You must decrease as the baby increases. So we must decrease as Christ increases within us. He is where the residence of God's love is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But it's not just a bunch of people say, oh yeah, praise Jesus. It's Christ in all men. And as you abandon yourself, give up the right to yourself, see the benefit of all things, then he is revealed automatically. Okay?
Thank you.
Cool. And again, he's talking to, in these books here, he's talking to the bride, or to us as a people, and he's saying, yet thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. I mean, stop a minute and think what we have endured. I mean, we haven't done very much. We just sort of hung around, right? For all these years. Once in a while, there's a little... But we have no idea what's going to happen next. I mean, it could be hell. It's going to be, I promise you, it's going to be the most exciting, life-filled, dynamic, more than you could ever imagine, more than you could ever dream of. We have been prepared for something. We have no idea what the fuck it is. We don't know what form it's going to take, what's going to happen. But he has put us up as a people together for a purpose. And it's been a long, for me, it's been almost, it's more than 20 years. January 17th, 1972. But I've been waiting. I've been hanging around, not doing anything. But what's happened? A people have been brought together. There's more, I mean, even the mailman says it. He says when he walks on this block, he senses something different.
Wow.
And we drove by Wentwood, Harry and I drove by Wentwood, and we were talking about how, you know, it seems like a dream now, Wentwood, mm-hmm. and the meetings over there and all that, it seems like this dream because, I mean, here we are, and this is a totally different
thing. We've been here all our lives.
It doesn't seem, though, like, I mean, it was just weird. It was like, gosh, we used to hang out there. You know?
I wonder if there's any change in the way people on Wentwood feel. You know, like
the neighbors on both sides of us are just dying. Thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth and shall not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. We don't understand. Who has died is the law. Go to Romans 7 real quick. You see that Romans 7, verse 1, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Again, once that's said, you can't speak to many people who name the name of Christ because they don't know the law. And they've cut themselves off from the reality of who they are. Just all they're left with is this propensity to put the name of God in their idols. You know, I just want to be all that God has intended to me as a woman. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband is dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren. Now, notice all that was that was the type, that was the metaphor. Now, here's the spiritual meaning of it. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Whether we liked it or not, whether we acknowledge it, remember, in ancient times, in all cultures, the marriage was arranged many times when you were 1 or 2 years old, sometimes before you were even born, by the chieftains of the tribes. You were married to the law before you were born. You can't become dead to the law without the cross. You understand? So now we go back to Isaiah 54. Thou shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and the Redeemer, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Now the reason there's a shall there is because it's like in the Spirit it says he has placed all things under his subjection, but yet we do not yet see all things under his subjection. But that didn't make him that we have. So here he's the God of the whole earth. You think there's certain parts of your life that he's forsaken you in. But he's the God of the whole earth. And the promise is that he shall be called the God of the whole earth. That there's no part of your life where you have been forsaken. Now that's mind-blowing. That's why no one else can understand the idea that it's finished. We think that we have to improve or change. And again, in that in the idea of the temple, you want to go and get to the laver or to the wash basin before you go to the altar. You want to get cleaned up before you present yourself. No, God says present yourself the living sacrifice exactly as you are. It's not up to you to decide. All right. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken. In the same way that a woman feels forsaken when she is totally left alone. I can remember some of the times when Tyra was just agonizing like no one else in the universe can agonize. I mean, when she's forsaken, she should give lessons in forsaken stuff.
Agonizing morning.
I mean, she is just.
I think she was not proud.
For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit. Now, that's how we were all when we were called by him. That's why at that point there's no strength, there's nothing left. There's total, you're a being totally forsaken. If you,
by the law?
Huh?
By the husband, the law?
Law.
Yeah.
You're forsaken, yeah. Nothing works.
It doesn't work.
The law simply means the way a thing works. For you, nothing has worked.
Wow. Yeah.
Right? When you reach the point, then you are in the same place as a woman forsaken. That's the only way you can be called. If you're called when you're not forsaken, you'll choose the wrong God. Now, I can remember every one of you.
Yeah, because you're hopeless. Unacceptable to the law.
Right.
You're hopeless. Rather than vice versa.
Okay. For a small and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. You were refused. You were thrown out. It doesn't work to say, you know, you remember that stuff in Ecclesiastes? If a man who had never had 2 pence in his entire life said, all is vanity, it would be meaningless. But if Solomon or Nebuchadnezzar, who ruled the entire known world, say that all is vanity, then you pay attention to him. If a man who had never owned a dollar in his life preached to you that owning money was, I mean, I would have no power in that area if I hadn't had money. Or whatever it is. You understand? All right. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy in thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Now some of you can remember your hot seats when that was read.
Man, yes.
Now, these next two verses are the verses that are read, that are the specific ones for the reading about, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. Now hear me. Hey, this is as the waters of Noah. Now, and this is really important. This is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. And I hear, you gotta hear this. There is no more punishment. It's only chastisement. What's the difference between punishment and chastisement? Punishment is being put to the test for the purposes of disapproving. Chastisement is being put to the test with the certainty that it's for approving. So you can rest in the punishment and glory in the tribulation. It's only when you believe that it's punishment that you get bent out of shape. You understand me?
This is a really silly example, but at work, sometimes I get into this state where things fall off, things get out of place. I get in this little circle, and I just start fixing things, and things keep knocking out, and put them up. And I stopped myself the other day because it was almost like someone was just like taking some off and throwing it. I mean, it just got in that kind of a state, and then I stopped for a second, and I just kind of laughed. I was like, thank you. Thank you.
Well, it's the same, yeah.
But I could see the lesson, that I was taking it as, I was seeing like, God, I can't believe it. I have to pick up all this shit.
Screw you, man.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I was like, boom. Oh, wow. I can be free.
And everybody, you can go through this and see this in every arena of your life, that there's nowhere that you are forsaken. There's nowhere that you're being punished. There's no lesson that you have to learn. There's no way you're going to get it right. It's like, it's in this arena. It's like Tyra is going through this stupid stuff at work, where she's convinced that she's not secure, and so every time the slightest little thing happens, she's convinced that she's got to throw the whole damn thing out. She's making more money than she could anywhere in the world. She likes her job fundamentally. She's got a great boss, but she wants, every time she's not secure because she thinks she's being punished. So seeing it rather than as chastisement or discipline, she sees it as punishment.
It's hard to get over that.
No, it's not. Only if you're hard-headed. This is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. Now, remember, that's the reason that the rainbow is in the earth. The rainbow is given for you to always remember that there's no such thing as punishment.
There's been some primo rainbows lately.
The rainbow is given so that so you can see that there's no possibility of you making a mistake. The rainbow is given so the certainty that you can know that there is no thing that you can do against the truth. It's the rest of Noah. Understand? Now, there's all kinds of wild, neat, wonderful things there had never been a rainbow until this rainbow of Noah. Because there had never been rain. Now, the rainbow, can you imagine what the first rainbow must have looked like to Noah and his tribe?
Cool.
All right. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness or mercy shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. Now, what that means is if you ever feel as if the peace is gone, then it has to do with a lie. And the lie is from this one, the evil one. 666, the Antichrist. He's trying to tell you that this isn't true. You understand me? Mm-hmm. It's really important. This is a biggie.
There's something happening to me. I feel like I really should say something about this because maybe it's for somebody else, but I've talked before about how I've been worried about forgetting things and not being able to do what I used to be able to do, that kind of stuff. What's been happening is I'll be driving along and suddenly I'll just jump and realize I'm driving, and it's like I've wandered off someplace. I never used to do this, but it's like I'm 85 years old.
It's Alzheimer's.
Well, yeah, but
it's like autopilot someplace you've driven before, and you just your body.
No, wait, don't try and solve this. Let me just tell you.
To understand what you're saying.
I'm just driving along, and suddenly I go like this, and I don't know how I got there. It's like I haven't been paying attention. The car has been weaving. I mean, crazy stuff. I should be having accidents left and right. I should be getting lost. I should be hurting myself. I should be hurting other people. It's not only driving, but I'm forgetting things. I'm screwing things up. But everything's working out just fine.
Time to put the keys up, honey. Awesome.
Wasn't my point.
No, I know.
The point is, it's becoming obvious to me that I am being carried along. I am being taken care of. I'm being provided for. I'm being protected. And there's a hand. The hand of God is doing stuff all the time, and I'm just sort of like there sometimes.
Well, it's hard. I do it all the time.
There's nothing new here.
Okay.
But it's the first, okay. I think the reason maybe that it might be something that you've noticed, because it's like a period of rest where you're resting enough that you can kind of just float along and not worry about all the other crap that you normally worry about.
Well, that may well be true because I'm having that deja vu feeling a lot, and I know that happens when you're in an extremely relaxed state. So
it's called cholinergic.
Yeah. It's happening a lot. So
precursor to colon cancer.
Yeah, or gum disease.
Of the neck.
But it's like I didn't even freak out at the dentist today.
Okay, verse 11. O thou afflicted, tossed with temper. Now again, remember, he's just said in the previous verse, my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. What?
No more punishment.
Yeah.
No more punishment.
Thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. Behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and thy foundation with sapphires. Now this is a description of the temple, and with us, the people, as the jewels in the temple. And it's one of these days when we ever get to the high place activity about precious gems.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find out how that each gem, each one of you are a separate gemstone by definition. And that gemstone had to be cut in a particular way so that the facets would catch the light in a unique way that's unique to anything else. And that's what he's done in your own experience. This thing that you feel as if you're being tossed and afflicted and thrown around, it's simply the master gem cutter taking off the facets off the gem that it might reflect the light in the way that he designed it. So you can rest in the midst of it. That's what this means. Amen? I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. Now this is your heritage, this is your inheritance. And this is being read in the midst of the biggest toss and tempest thing that's ever happened on earth, the flood. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from the terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that riseth against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is only of me, saith God, or saith the Lord. Now, it doesn't matter whether or not you deserved it. In other words, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Even if you deserve to have the weapon be formed against you because you screwed up.
Yeah, it's already been established that you don't deserve it back here.
All right. You understand?
It's important, though.
It is.
It's important.
There is, in other words, there's no such thing as cause and effect with regard to your punishment or what you perceive as something negative happening to you.
And that would include the weapons that you make against yourself, too.
Right? That's right. I can't tell you how many times that weapons have been formed against me since I've been a believer. But this was, I mean, it makes me fearful, because if I know that if somebody does something against me, they're going to suffer without me doing anything. But that's what you have to see for you. You have to see that you have the biggest, baddest, I mean, it's like this thing, the littlest thing. Huh? Yeah, but the emperor, the little guy, what's the last emperor? You know, the idea that you'd screw up bad. And somebody else go get beat up for it.
That's why
Eric's here.
Huh?
That's why you would be Eric.
Amen. But that's the lesson, the takeaway of this. If you work for a company, it's their highest blessing that you're there.
This is gonna sound weird, but when I got fired, I was just enraged. I was so mad. I can't tell you. But I just kept thinking in my mind, don't do anything. Don't do anything. Don't say anything bad. Don't call anybody on the phone, trash them.
Amen.
God will destroy them.
Let it go.
No, I'm serious. I'm calling. I'm waiting.
He will.
That's so
and
weird.
If I took it in my hand, then he would.
Let me tell you, and this happened, it's true from before, I mean, we were chosen from before the foundation of the earth. I mean, I could tell you, I mean.
No, we beat it.
Yeah. I mean, I worked for the government, and there was this guy that hated me, that was my big boss. I mean, he really hated me. He said, we don't want anybody to be white in this outfit, but we don't want anybody to be totally black either. I said, he's talking about, his exact words were, we don't want anybody's hearts to be totally white in this organization, and then we couldn't do anything. But we don't want anybody's heart to be totally black either. I mean, I was supposed to go to Barcelona, Spain for 3 years. And it's the idyllic place in the universe. And he sent me to Korea. The asshole of the world up in this isolated thing, 3 miles from the demilitarized zone, not even 3 miles.
You
from
tell it as good as you really could.
Well, it's worse.
I know, do the Ava Gardner part, that's my
no.
favorite.
Anyway,
So
the guy, everything, he had me, before that, he had me arrested. I was under house arrest for 3 months. They couldn't even put me in a regular jail because it was a top secret thing. Well, Eva Gardner was, I just thought she was the world, she was a neat woman, and she was in Barcelona.
Right. You wanted to go.
Yeah. Huh?
You were off to Korea.
And they sent me to Korea.
I'll tell the story about it. I just died.
You all will never go to Korea.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. You got to tell us that about the Jeep going into the
no, I don't have to. But anyway, the poor guy, William Bender, he's in prison. Probably for something he didn't do.
Oh, God.
Do you believe that somebody's going to do something to them? I mean, that God is going to...
It's not a matter of believing. It's what
just
what happened.
They're not living...
No, it has nothing to do with whether they're living right, wrong, or indifferent. Any weapon that is formed against you shall not prosper. I've created the waster I mean, it happens, I promise you.
Yeah, it does happen.
It's the same thing, and it's spiritually, it's exactly what's happening in your body. If anything came against that seed, that child in you, the white corpuscles of your system would attack it, and it would be destroyed. It has nothing to do with consciousness.
Or virtue.
Or virtue.
I mean, just the things that have happened to me since I came here. Was just...
I think the most dramatic incident of that, at least the shortest time, remember when Ollie and I were driving to Seattle?
Oh, yeah.
And we were joking around in the car, and it was kind of a low car. And when we
back window was low.
And I said something to it, to Ollie, and he shot me the finger. Okay, just like that to me. But the guy behind us thought it was to him. Oh, and no. So all of a sudden, and we're on the way between Dallas and Lubbock, and this guy is terrorizing us the entire time, trying to run us off the road and doing all this stuff. And finally, he was like, enough, you know, and I think we stopped for coffee or something. Anyway, he went on, and we drove by a little ways, and the police had him out and frisking him. And, I mean, he was over. I mean, it was obvious he was going to jail. You know, it was... Yeah, but I mean, it was like it happened like that. I mean, it was weird the way God took care of it.
That's why, because it sounds so audacious for us to say this kind of stuff. I've never had this thing that I know of happen to me, you know. But
I bet you have.
Sure you have. You just probably don't know.
Yeah,
part of me just feel like, well, this is where we're off the hook here, you know. Because I've never heard this before we came here, and it is. Part of me doesn't want to believe it, but part of me thinks that's too presumptuous. Well,
yeah, I know, but the reason it does is because you're afraid you may be on the other end of it. I mean, there's a little, you just don't want to have, you want God to be just.
Or at least gentle.
Reasonable.
No, reasonable.
Just reasonable.
You want him to love you.
Just do.
Well, we've got a whole, this week we have the next section to do. Let's do it.
Let's this is motive. Genesis what?
Genesis 8. Chapter 8, read the first 7 verses, Lee.
And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested on the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, there were the tops of the mountain seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he went, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth.
And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the end to the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and took her, and pulled her into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the seventh and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried.
What's
the
raven and
dove say? The raven ate the dead carcasses. So when it was sent, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's start in the beginning of The word remembered is the Hebrew word zakar. And it means the appropriate, it was an inward act that's accompanied by the appropriate eternal action at the appropriate time. The reason that we can afford to be at rest is because we do not know at any given moment what the appropriate act is, nor do we know what the appropriate time is. We always want to be in this state of being where God is remembering us, where He is taking the external action. Again, I'm reminded of this thing that happened to me in the Mixmaster downtown. I missed a turn because I was daydreaming. And I was really mad because it was going to make me late. And as I was looking and condemning myself, I could see out of the corner of my eye, sort of through the rearview mirror, the place where I was going, a guy had run into a gas tank truck, and it exploded. Oh. And I mean, it was, the timing of it was, I would have been there.
That's probably why you lost all the time.
Probably.
And the glass of the window probably wouldn't have been sufficient to protect you.
But anyway, he remembers... And this word is used in Genesis, throughout. He remembered Abraham, he remembered Rachel, he remembered his covenant. He remembers his mercy, he remembers his covenant forever, he remembers his promise. I mean, these are just, I could go on and on and on about him remembering.
I mean, you gotta think a guy who, or a being who is not subject to time, I mean, remember... is such a time-dependent thing, so it's got to mean something like there's something very like he's thinking directly of Noah. I'm thinking of you, Noah. It's real action sounding. Like he's doing something.
Well, it's the idea that in a simple matter, he remembers to release the right enzymes to digest a particular food that's being eaten at the right time. I mean, this is in opposition to your illusion of control, that you're controlling your life. The fact is that there's no such thing as your own control or self-will or free will. Those are just illusions. That you only have the illusion of free will and the illusion of control in the smallest, teeniest area of your life. And it's that, and it's an illusion. But anyway. Then the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. It's easy to think about, relatively easy to think about God controlling this big stuff at big time. You know, here's the flood, you know, so of course he's going to control when it rains and doesn't rain, and when it earthquakes and this is going on. But we forget that it's not convenient for us to believe that he's controlling everything at all times. That there is no thing that can take place in your life that is an accident. The word blessed is the greatest revelator of that. If you haven't heard it before, the word blessed in Hebrew is barak, and in Greek it's makarios. And it means not what modern religion has made it, or not what your mind would like. You know, if you're blessed, it means your good things are happening to you and you're getting... All that's true, but not in your definition of good things. It's in His definition of good things.
So blessed, and
blessed means not subject to fate. Blessed means that there is no accident, ever. There's no, if you are blessed, if you are blessed, and if you say God bless you, it's the affirmation that there is no accident. that all things work together for good, always, to them that love the Lord, to the called according to his purpose. So anytime you get out of sorts at something, you are really fighting against God. You understand?
Just thinking about the right action at the right time and not, and us not knowing what that is. In that year that I was at John's Wombs, that I was so depressed, it was so black and so scary and so weird and crazy, there came a point one night when my eyes were so completely turned on myself that I was trying to decide. I was trying to decide what to do. But each thing I would consider to do, it was like there were endless ramifications of it. And it got to, should I sit down or should I stand up? Should I stay where I am? Should I breathe? Should I not breathe? It was taken to the out as far as it could go.
Well, and that's,
so that I could see that I couldn't decide anything.
But again, that's the fruit of... I mean, that's the fruit, one of the fruit of, that's part of the fruit of marijuana.
Yeah.
Is that it's not just paranoia, it's paranoia with no options.
And I just froze for hours.
But that's what happens in some kinds of high place activity, in the worship of idolatry. It's the when you become a stone. You know, Tyra is guilty of it more than most. You become immobilized. But it's immobilized with no options in a state of paranoia.
Stone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but it's without any benefits. Well, Noah and his family were tossed and turned continually. They were in the ark a year and 17 days. The ark, I mean, we're talking...
Mr. Ralph. I'm sick of
your face. Have you ever been seasick?
Oh, really?
What?
Seasick was...
That's right. 40 days and 40 nights, didn't it?
Just rained that long. That doesn't mean...
Somehow it went ahead in my head that it was... The water went up for like 20 days and then went down yeah. for like 20 days and then it was done.
Then it got out of the
park. Never really thought it out.
Everything was nice and clean.
We are tossed and turned in our minds in the same way as a part of this process. But we enter into the ark. The ark is Christ. But in the ark, you have no options. It's like in the wilderness, there are no options. The only option is suicide. That's the only option that Noah had. There was nothing he could do.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it means to be shut up to faith. It's when you know in your mind that there are no options. I mean, all of you have, I don't know Renee well enough, but I know that you're in a place now where you have no options.
God damn straight. You're not kidding. I've been feeling it so much here lately, and I think that's why I'm here.
And that's why where you're supposed to be. God's got a call on your life, and he's put you into this place where you now have no options. I mean, I don't know anything about you, but
I know that. You have no idea, I mean, how much control, I mean, just the illusion of control has been important to me in my life. And when I first got pregnant, I thought, oh God, you know, I went through this phase of I'm not in control. And then it was real easy to kind of pretend that it wasn't there or to still be in control because I still had my life to a certain degree. But, you know, now I can't even walk up the steps without getting out of breath. I mean,
yeah.
That's just a small metaphor of how my life has changed.
Yeah. There are no options except suicide.
Not a good option.
And it's really sad because, I mean, I guess the little man in my head, you call him the Antichrist. He's been talking to me a lot.
Tell me, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me, Satan.
And I've been trying to figure out what I can do, you know, to just...
Well, I can move to another room in the ark. I can move in with the tiger instead of with this timber wolf.
I just remembered, it was so funny this morning. Rick came with me over to Bloom's condo, and we're walking around, and I go, "And Rick, this is the room where I lived for a year. This is the bathroom where I sat on the floor for 4 hours and couldn't move. There's the mirror where I saw the demon. Yeah. Here's where I did the first Bible study tape. And oh, that balcony, that's the balcony I tried to jump off 100 times."
That's right. He was like, it was a bizarre tour.
Anyway,
like,
what?
The tour of hell.
Yeah. It was weird.
Three-hour tour.
Weird. Well, what you just said to Renee reminded me of the thing. I think it's an Amos where, you know, you turn away from something and you
turn away from a lion and a bear met you.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you're running from a lion and a bear met you. You lean your hand against the wall to rest from the race and a snake bit you.
Grope in the darkness of noonday.
Okay. In the spirit, for a long period, all the human race is in this condition. But in the spirit, you always have this choice. You can lean on your own arm of understanding. You can have options. You can find the life in your own arm, of your own understanding. But if you're a believer, you must not do that. That's the purest evil. That's why in Hebrew, the word avon is self-seeking, or self-fulfillment is the word iniquity, or wickedness. Avon. Now, that's why, again, in the New Testament, it says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints." And that's not five different people. It's one person. It's the process. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry." I can't do the work of the ministry. It's obvious to me. You must do it. "For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, fully tested man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." The thing that has to take place is you can never forget what prophecy is. I mean, you must trust the process. You must speak the truth in love. You must commend yourself openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God, no matter what the consequences. Now, as you do that, it's going to seem, I mean, totally ludicrous to your mind. But a mystery takes place. Now, in verse 3, "And the waters returned from off the word, off the earth continually." The word "return" there is the interesting word. It's where elsewhere it's translated as repented. Shub.
Went back to where
it came. The waters returned. They went away from.
Does that mean they went back? Remember, it came out of the underground caverns and all that stuff. You told us about that too. Uh-huh. It wasn't just the air; it was just exploding everything.
No, everything. Everything exploded.
I know. Did it go back?
No. Now the way the oceans were formed.
Okay.
"The ark rested in the seventh month, on the seventh day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Even the ark rested on the seventh day."
Cool.
"In the seventh month." The mountain of Ararat is approximately 500 miles from where Noah had started. He started at a place called Pharaoh on the Euphrates, according to tradition, which is, it's not in that map, but it's near where a lot of the battles were fought in this stupid little war. Now, Ararat is in far western Turkey, near the present border of the Soviet Union and Iran. It is 17,000 feet high. At the foot of the village, of the mountain, is a village called Nakikavan. The name in Hebrew means "here Noah settled." and their name in Iranian means that. The village also claims to have or contain the tomb of Noah. But Noah went into the ark 7 days before it began to rain. It began to rain on the 17th day of the second month of Noah's 600th year. It rained for 40 days. The waters prevailed 150 days. The ark rested on the 17th day of the seventh month, and they removed the covering on the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year. They went out of the ark on the 27th day of the second month. Therefore, they were in the ark a total of 1 year and 17 days. They were floating in turbulence for 5 months, and they rested on top of the mountain for 7 months. Wow. And those two numbers are massively significant in numerology. Five is the worst number there is, except for six. Huh?
Because five just almost somehow doesn't surprise
me. Complete?
No, five is just turmoil. Seven, six is man, and then seven is rest. Eight is resurrection. But Noah isn't a hero to the Hebrews. He's a bad guy. He was only, because he was righteous and all that. He was only righteous in comparison to everybody else. It's like, you know, they had all these great sayings about what he was righteous in comparison to.
He may have injured you that drunk.
Yeah. Now, the reason, remember how he got all the, he got all this is mysticism. He got all the animals to come into the, to him because of this thing called the Zohar. And the animals were in a state of suspended animation, almost in a state they weren't. It was state like hibernation.
Suspended inanimation.
Yeah, because of the power that was resident in the coat of skins that God had made for Adam and Eve. That because God had touched it, it had the power to have them have dominion over all the animals. Now, all kinds of things happened, and we'll get into some of the wars and things that took place at the base of the ark. I mean, at the place of the ark where everybody wanted to get in, and the things that the people said. And
the door.
Yeah.
Look at your.
Well, and then there would be an if by tigers at the same time.
Yeah. Animals, if you believe the stories, the animals were called to this place in the Euphrates, which was like the best place on the earth. And all of the animal kingdom was called there, and by a mystery process, they came and presented themselves to Noah two by two. But the ones that weren't chosen got furious. The animals got furious. And so they're starting to suspect something. I mean, the people in the country are starting to suspect something's going on here.
Packs of
animals start. So anyway, and again, there's the minimum is 25 million, the maximum is 250 million. There was that range of people.
Oh, no, this week he's doing spiders.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. He was crazy. How long did it take to build the ark? 100 years, right?
120 years. That's enough. Anybody have any comments? We'll study more about some of the stories about what happened next time we meet.
The other night, Tom and I rented this movie, Rosemary's Baby. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
It's Rosemary's Baby.
And it kind of freaked me out. It kind of freaked Tylene out too. But it was a real good movie, real suspenseful and well made. And it wasn't until the end, one of the last scenes that this stuff with me, they were revealed that this baby she had, which had been taken from her, was half saved. She'd been impregnated by Satan. She didn't have it. But she stumbles into this room of, 15, 20 people, and they're Satan worshippers. And I start chanting, you know, hail to Satan and all this stuff. And I'd just never seen such a, even though it was a movie, an outward display of Satan worship. And it was really eerie. I mean, we just sat like chills up my spine. And, you know, that's what we do internally. I guess that's what I saw, is that it's the same thing internally. But just seeing that graphically was really astounding.
Yeah, it's the thing that men shall speak well of you when you do well or good unto yourself. And that's what Satan worship is. Satan worship spiritually, and what you saw and reacted to was simply a group of people doing good for each other. As long as the kingdom of self is satisfied, Satan is happy.
And how most people don't even know they're worshiping Satan. That's the accepted thing.
Didn't Rex do promos?
Yes, Rex was the voice for.
It's a great movie.
For what?
For the radio spots and the television spots for Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.